This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio talking to you about realharmony.org. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the homosexual marriage issue. This is, in fact, church, a gospel issue. We must be salt, a preservative. We have to be light on this issue of homosexual marriage, and we do that at realharmony.org.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio, and you guys, it is so important that you pray for a burden for the people in the homosexual community. Then go to realharmony.org and check out the resources we provide to equip Christians on this issue.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The culture has a universal symbol that recognizes homosexual gay marriage. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that you look at and say, that's harmonious, real, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org. Buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy and buy the truckloads. We have a goal of selling 1 million of them and getting this out to the culture. Church, jump on it. Realharmony.org.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say
the same idea.
I would say
same
that.
End.
I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, none. There's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
What? What's Yumberry? Yumberry. You guys know what this is?
No.
It just crossed my mind. I'm looking at my drink right now. It's right in front of me. It's Revelberry. Revelberry. Not just berry. Revelberry! It's like a party bear. Party berry in a can. It's my yerba mate. And I'm reading the back of it. It says organic brewed yerba mate, organic hibiscus flower. There's put some flowers in there. Yeah. They were like, what do we put inside here? I don't know. Some flowers? What do we got laying around in the back? I don't know, some flowers and some yum berries. That's what it says.
I pulled it up.
What, you got? Okay, you have it?
Yep, here's the yum berry.
Oh.
It's scientific name.
All right, scientific name.
Is
delicious
Miracle.
Sorry, bro.
And here it is. Wait.
Oh, it looks yummy.
Yummy.
That's what they like. What are we going to call this thing? The scientific name is too difficult to say. It's really good. And you guys agree? It's actually very good. It's good. Let's call
it. Okay, so the fruit's not actually called that.
Okay.
It really is just called Miracle Rubra, but it's been commercialized.
America? It's America. It's America Berry. That's America Berry. America. Don't tread on me, Berry. That's a don't tread on me, Barry. Liberty or death, Barry. What's a yum berry? It's delicious, is what it is. Hey, this is Apologia Radio. If you guys are listening, in Arizona, did you guys realize that we have a lot of fans in Arizona? I just had no way to gauge it. When we look at the podcast internationally, we can tell like who's listening and from where, all over the world. And we do have listeners everywhere, but I'm surprised we have listeners like that listen to us all the time in Arizona. So what's up? 4 to 6 p.m. on Saturday is Apologia Radio. You can get us at apologiaradio.com. Today, you guys noticed the voice is a little different today.
Mm-hmm.
A little different. And that's because Bear the bear, the ministry bear, Luke Pearson, isn't here.
Yep.
He's in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yep.
Good for him. His daughter had turned...
Is turning three on the 10th.
And so she went to Disneyland. Yes. He deserves it. And that's skinny jeans.
You wore them, dude.
Yeah,
that's your name.
I wore
sorry.
Them yeah. once.
You may not like the name, but you're the one that wore the jeans.
Okay, well, they're going to make a comeback. Now, I'm at the wear.
Every time you speak, I'm going to have this, like, in the background. Yeah, don't ask me why. But when I think of Elliot and skinny jeans, I think of the Bee Gees. That could be the high-pitched voices. I don't know what it is. It's the Bee Gees. I don't know. That's your song.
So next time I come to worship, I'll wear the skinny jeans and sing everything in a really high falsetto.
How deep is your love?
And, of course, as always, we have the resident awesome sauce. Like that, resident awesome. They have to be your new name. It's Joy Timby. You're welcome. The show just wouldn't be the same without you, Joy. You know that. It's awesome.
This is my song?
This is totally your song. Here it goes. Ready? Jeremy is in the bag. I saw him. Hey, Jeremy, I caught you. Jeremy, I just caught you, dude. I saw that. Don't even try to play it off. Don't try to play it off.
I need a montage to this so bad. I want
You know what's funny is I just had it, and like, you know, we're like in here, and I see him. He doesn't know I'm looking at him, and he's just lipping. He's going, he's mean. He's not just lipping it, like just his lips are moving. He's got that like angry look, like angry. Mean.
He's feeling it.
Yeah.
Feeling
that
it.
Close away from doing that angry dance and just going for it.
We see him in the studio and back. He's just like spinning in a circle, punching his fist. Go, Jeremy. All right. Hey, where are we doing today? I don't know. We're here.
We're being crazy.
That's right. Apology Radio. Hey, guys. A couple things. We have a lot to talk about, and we are going to try to finish the discussion we've been having over the course of weeks on how we know Jesus as the Messiah. But let's talk about a few really cool things that have been going on. First thing I want to talk about is if you go to Apologia Radio on Facebook. So just if you are with the times and you have a Facebook account, it's a wonderful thing. Honestly, take dominion over it. Think about the fact that we can speak to somebody in Australia, somebody in North Africa, somebody in Russia, somebody in China. With a push of a button, you can get the word of God into those nations. That's crazy, okay? But if you go to Facebook and you go to Apologia Radio, we have a page and just a lot of interaction going on. But we posted last week. I was in Texas, I think, when it came up, or I was about to leave for Texas to go speak in McAllen. But we got the first picture of the first baby that we had witnessed being saved from death at an abortion mill in Glendale. The story is pretty phenomenal. I'm going to go ahead and tell it because it's worthy of your time. People will say, like, is it worth going to the abortion mills? You know, is that really accomplishing anything? Should we be engaged in that sort of a thing? Isn't it sort of like soapboxing? I guess people might perhaps get the idea that you're like, you're out there and you're screaming and yelling and you're mean and, you know, you're just seen as a protester. Rah, rah, pro-life. But the truth is, like, we're out there bringing the gospel. The good news. Like, we have three things we want to say to people when we go to the abortion clinic, and we usually have about 15 seconds to say it from door to door. We want to communicate what's truly going on in there, so we don't pull punches. I'll be honest about that. We don't pull punches about what they're going to do inside there. So we tell people as they go in what's going to happen to their baby, and we make sure they know clearly. We have pictures, and yes, we use them. I don't like carrying them. I hate the pictures, and I promise you this, I can't look at them. I can't. I don't sit and stare at the pictures like, oh, I love having these pictures. The pictures are graphic, but they do the heavy lifting for us, and I've never had to have a debate with somebody while holding the picture about whether or not this is truly a baby. That debate doesn't occur while you're holding the pictures, okay? So they do the heavy lifting for you. We've got the pictures. We tell the truth about what's going on inside the abortion mill. And we communicate the good news. We tell everybody as they go in that if they turn to Christ, there's forgiveness and there's peace and there's life. Okay, so we don't just go out there, you know, chopping people up like, you know, with a sword, like, you know, oh, you know, you're wicked and cruel. And, you know, we tell the truth about that. But we also say there's life and peace. Turn from this place. You can come to Christ. And we tell them that. The last thing we do is we say that we'll help you. We will adopt your baby. We'll offer you anything you need. So we do those three things, and we're on a cycle of that the whole time we're there. Every new person that's coming in, we're communicating those three things. What the truth of what's going on in there, the gospel, and then we will help you. Okay, so we go to Glendale, guys, and this is an amazing day because there's this guy. I don't know if I ever shared the story with you guys. Did I tell you this story about what happened that day, how it actually occurred?
No? Go ahead and tell. You may have.
It was just intense. This day was intense because this guy, when I pulled up, I saw like David and Amber were there and Chelsea and Justin were there. Jamie was there. We were all there that day. And when I pulled up, there was this guy. I'm going to park and there's this guy like yelling in David's face, right? And I'm like, oh, okay, it's one of those days. Like some days aren't like that. Some days are just chill, you know. But this is one of those days. So I go up and this guy is like yelling. And so I start to engage the guy, and I'm noticing like everybody seems just exhausted, like they seemed they were totally taxed. This guy was just sucking the wind out of them, taking the wind out of him. He really was. He was wearing him down. So I come in, and now I'm going with the guy, and so I'm just persistently just taking his legs off because he's obviously not a Christian. He rejects God, and so I'm just taking his legs off. And every time he would say something about some moral indignance he had about what we were doing, I was just like, well, that's okay though, right? Because there's no God. Remember that? And he'd, oh yeah, but you know, I don't like it. Well, your preferences don't matter here. You know, you're just a blob of stuff. It doesn't make a difference. And so now he's getting whittled down now, right? So he and I ended up speaking for like 2 hours. But the whole time, Justin is trying to say something. He keeps stepping in to try to say something. And I can notice, I'm seeing Justin like he's getting exhausted. Because this guy isn't just talking, he is screaming. And he said to us that he was there, he dropped a girl off to kill her baby. But he said that he was there staying with us to talk to us because he just wanted to give us a hard time and he wanted us to leave. Mm-hmm. And so he was making life as difficult as possible. So yeah. He's doing all this. And finally, Justin is just exhausted. I see Justin turn around and then walk away. And he walks to the front, around the whole building, to the front of Planned Parenthood in Glendale. And he's standing there. And I can see, while I'm talking to this guy, I can see Justin just worn down to a nub. He's just worn down. And he's holding a sign all sad. Like, he's holding a sign just staring down. And I'm like, man, I thought in my mind, I'm going to go talk to him when this is done. I got to give him some encouragement. Finally, this guy crosses the line. I forget how, but the police ended up coming. But in the whole thing, I want to try to save the big punch for after the commercial break. So I want you to stay with us on Apology Radio. This guy finally gets lost, and the police come and everything else. But I see somebody come out of Planned Parenthood and walk right across the parking lot and talk to Justin for a second, and then I see the guy leap over the wall and start talking to Justin face to face. Now, you're going to want to stay with us because this is the first time that we got to witness something this spectacular. The first time we went to Planned Parenthood in Phoenix, we got to take two girls that were coming there that were pregnant to a Christian crisis pregnancy center and to a Christian family care agency. But this was one time that was just truly spectacular. We got to actually witness this occurring. And when you stay with us on the next segment, you're going to hear about the glorious end of this story. Let's just put it this way. We've got a picture of the baby up on our Apology Radio Facebook page. That's Skinny Jeans right there.
Hi.
And we also have Joy the Girl.
I'm a maniac.
Stay with us. ApologyRadio.com. The Maniac.
Or if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. So excuse me for getting, but these things I do.
But see, you were asking me during the break about gravity.
Gravity.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I saw it. Friday? I thought it was intense with the special effects. I mean, you almost got dizzy
Oh, yeah.
With it, because I don't even know how to do it. I honestly, even if someone said, I don't like the movie, like I was bored with it, or I don't like the character development, whatever it might be, okay, that's fine. But you gotta be honest with something. It was nuts when it comes to how they did the camera stuff. It was like fluid, constant movement over and above, and you felt like you were in space.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard the cinematography is great. Like, did you ever see Children of Men? Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's the same director that did that. And there's
oh, really?
There's a scene in there where they're following, I think it's Clive Owen, right? And they're following him through this entire battle scene. It's just one long shot, and it's like, I don't know, 5 minutes. But he just keeps going through that. We should have talked about this a couple weeks ago. But
yeah.
Obviously, the movie didn't come out, so.
No, but it was intense. I mean, it's just an amazing view to like where we're going with like film, like that you can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
But it had Sandra Bullock in it, and I posted the question on Facebook that I wanted to go see it. And everybody's like, oh, it's great. And like 3 out of 3 moms who I know came on there. It was terrible. And I'm like, what's the deal? And
yeah.
I don't know. I think they were disappointed that it wasn't like Sandra Bullock floating around in like a wedding dress.
Yeah.
waiting for like.
With her tennis shoes.
Yeah. They're like, George Clooney, Sandra Bullock. This has got to be like, I don't know. I was thinking maybe it was a sequel to Miss Congeniality.
I thought it was a love film. She's lost in space.
Okay. No, I'll tell you what I think it is.
Yeah.
I think moms are constantly worried about their children, their house, their husbands, and they don't want to go to a movie and just be worried for 2 hours about how this woman is going to make it out of space.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was incredible.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. She was like, if I were Sandra Bullock right now, I'd be wondering if I left the sink on.
No, I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. I know I'm floating in space, but did I lock the door? Did I set the alarm?
No. Not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. Hey, we're back. Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com, guys. Hey, we're finishing up the story about what happened. The first time we really got to see the beginning to the end of this process of a baby being saved at an abortion mill. Make no mistake about it. God commands us to basically hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. That's a command of God. So you're welcome for that. I just gave it to you. It's in the Proverbs. I'll give you the verse reference later. But for now, no. God commands us to do it. I've been made aware of that verse and reference, and we want to do that. So we go there. Now, Justin's over to the side after being exhausted with this guy who's trying to just tear into us. He goes over. Now, I notice that this guy comes out of Planned Parenthood, and he ends up talking to Justin, and he jumps over the wall. Now he's talking to Justin. So I end up going over and realize, like, Justin has convinced this guy to go back in to get his wife. And I'm like, you're kidding me. You are kidding me. There's a save. His wife is in there. It turns out not only is his wife in there, but she's in the pre-op. She's like on the table when he has to go in again, fight through Planned Parenthood staff to get his wife out of the back. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So we now know the rest of the story. This guy is inside Planned Parenthood. And because we were out there preaching and everything else, he heard us. And so he feels really challenged. And this is us talking to him afterwards. He's really challenged. He hears us preaching. He goes inside. His wife is in the back now. So he starts asking God. He says, God, if you want me to stop this, if you want me to not do this, then I need a sign from you. And so he's looking out the door. Now, mind you, listen, this is where it gets interesting. Justin was over with me on the other side of the building talking to this guy who was trying to tear into us. It was only because he was exhausted from this guy that he ended up walking down the street and around the front of the building. Okay, so we weren't there. But because this guy is there exhausting Justin decides to go to the front.
This guy that was trying to trip you guys up.
That's right. That's what makes it interesting. So at this moment, Justin walks in the front of the building, and the guy inside is asking God, I need a sign. And so he sees Justin walk to the front, and then this is what he says. He says to God, he says, if you want me to stop this, I'm going to go out there and talk to that guy. And if that guy owns that van down the street. Now, mind you, we're on a pretty large street, a couple different directions you can turn in and off of. And there's cars basically everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. Parking lot, just cars on the street. And he says, let that guy be the owner of that van. And I know you want me to stop. Random, completely random. He walks out the door. He walks right up to Justin. He's behind the wall. It's a half wall. And he says to Justin, hey, are you the owner of that van? And Justin, like, kind of bewildered, huh? Like, what? Yes. That van? Yeah, that's my van. Just randomly picks a van and says, that van. And Justin goes, yeah, that's my van. Hmm. And the guy jumps over the wall and starts talking to Justin. So Justin ends up basically talking to him, and he's just like on fire now. And he's like, go in there and get her. Get her right now. And the guy runs in. He gets his wife out. He has to fight through Planned Parenthood staff. They get in the parking lot, and they're both crying in the parking lot, hugging each other. Justin and Chelsea took him home. We've tried to serve them. Joy even participated a little bit in trying to serve this family and help them through the whole process. But here's the good news. As of last week, I think it was Friday, the baby was born. And we got to get a picture of the baby staring at his mom. It's just a beautiful picture. Just the fact his eyes are locked on his mom. It's just an amazing picture. But we put the picture up on Apologia Radio Facebook page. Put the picture up. No boosting the post. Didn't advertise the post. Nothing. Just put the picture up. It has, as of today, less than a week later, over 40,000 views of the picture. And then here's what makes it even better. I don't even know how many hundreds of likes, but 600 shares.
Wow.
600 people shared the photo. It's just pretty amazing. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. You know, there's a huge, you can't always count up the events and figure them out that lead to where we're at now. There's so many things that God does, little things here and there, even like a wicked man coming to try to hurt God's people and, you know, thwart what we're doing, and that ends up sending Justin where he needs to be to save a baby. You just never know what God's doing. But the truth is like, you know, all of our supporters giving and helping and everything else for this ministry, like that, you've participated in that whether you know it or not. Like, there isn't any ability to do ministry if we don't have the support of people giving. That's just true. I mean, everything counts. So I just wanted to share that. And I don't know, you guys want to fill in, talk about how cool it is or whatever, whatever?
I think it's awesome. It's definitely a milestone.
Yeah,
for Apologia and for the Red Door Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that so many people saw it and shared it, and I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And it's for us, it's a tangible thing. We can see. Look.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. Go look at the picture. Okay, do it. If you're listening on the radio in your car in Arizona or at home, you didn't get this my podcast or whatever, go to Apologia Radio on Facebook. Look at the picture. It's on that page. It'll blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'm hoping. I hope that by sharing that picture and showing, look, we don't know exactly what we're doing. That's just the honest to God truth. I mean, we know the gospel. We know this is murder. We know we need to help. Okay. But we didn't have training. Nobody taught us what to do. Nobody liked it. We didn't sit in a course that said, hey, this is what you do. A, B, C, D. We said, listen, babies are being killed. We want to save them. We want to bring the gospel. We want to help these people. And so we went completely blind. And in the process of doing that, God has saved, we know, as of just what we know of, about 20 babies from the ministry that we've been able to be a part of as we've been out there at the abortion mills in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just hoping that in some small way, this sort of nudges believers across the world, particularly in our nation, to look with the permission of your pastor and like his support and help, go. Just get out there and do this ministry, because babies can be saved. I mean, that's huge. This baby's alive today because we were just there. There's nothing special about us. God did all the work. We were just there. So go get it. ApologiaRadio.com with Skinny Jeans, the girl, Elliot, Joy Tembe. Be right back.
We'll be right back.
ApologiaRadio.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Support the ministry. Go to the homepage of ApologiaRadio.com. Donate tab there. You can donate to the ministry of Apologia Radio, a ministry of Apologia Church in Tempe. Back with Skinny Jeans.
Hello.
Elliot Hillis and the girl, Joy Tembe.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Cool stuff going on. Let's just do some fun stuff right now. We got some good stuff on the back end of the show. Let's just do some cool stuff right now. Okay. People are like, new listeners are like, what in the heck are you talking about?
What is all the hype about this show?
This is not what I came to hear.
Okay.
Where's the apologetics?
I thought this was a serious apologetic show. It is. Relax.
Sometimes.
Yeah. We get there. Okay. All right. BuzzFeed.
Yes.
BuzzFeed.
Yep, you're welcome to
thank
the world.
You. Thank you.
And to BuzzFeed.
World, you're welcome. BuzzFeed, introduced to me by Joy Tembe. Okay, so let's talk about 20 ridiculously specific online dating sites that actually exist. These aren't pretend. These really exist.
Mm-hmm.
Dating sites. By the way, am I the only one that's completely and utterly, totally annoyed by the eHarmony guy's voice? Hi, this is Neil Clark Horn. eHarmony. I just feel like... who talks like that?
Charlie Brown's teacher.
I mean, do you honestly think he's with his wife like that? He's like, oh, honey, you can have
maybe
your
that's
chair.
What she likes. She put that in her profile.
I want a guy that sounds like a combination of a sheep and a horse. I want a man that sounds like a billy goat and a bear.
Hey, to
heck?
Each their own.
To each their own, I guess.
This will prove it.
All right, 20 ridiculously specific online dating sites that could actually exist. Number one, Ugly Schmucks.
Yes.
It's a website for ugly people that want to date. Okay, so, it's real. It's called Ugly Schmucks.
Don't you have to have a certain level of confidence to be able to go in and admit
like,
that you're
I give
schmuck.
Up. I'm going to this one.
Yeah.
Well, and isn't
I'm not the other one, so I must be this one. Yeah, you're whittling down. I'm not the beautiful people one.
Well, like, isn't there a certain amount of confidence that's considered attractive?
I think
do you
so.
Really find a lot of
yeah,
people?
Yeah, I'm ugly. You deal with it. Deal with it. Puts the shades on.
Yeah, I'm ugly, but I look good.
Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, Equestrian Cupid. It's
horse lovers?
For cowboys and cowgirls.
Oh.
Yeah, so
I didn't even know what that meant when I saw
and
it.
And this one, you know, here's Joy's favorite. This is the one. She's actually, you have an account with this one, don't you? You're on this one.
Yep.
It's called Personals. Personals. It's the cat lover social network. Hey, that's your picture, Joy. You're on the cover.
I haven't met anybody yet.
It's one of those moving things of you. It's like you with a cat. You're just... All right.
A gif?
A gif. Amish dating. That's... but that makes sense to me, though.
They're not even allowed to have internet.
They don't go on the internet.
Apparently, they do. Okay. It's a lot of rebellious Amish people, like Amish mafia.
It's just built out of
listen,
wood.
Listen, my heritage is very important to me. So important that I'm going to log on to technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And find someone to
I think a lot of Amish, a lot of younger Amish people are just going, wait a second. This is kind of ridiculous. All right, Biker's Kiss. That makes sense, you know, for bikers. People love biking. Now, here's a good one. Clown dating. Everyone loves a clown.
Not really.
Let a clown love you. That's the motto.
What? Are you serious?
It says clown dating. Everyone loves a clown. Let a clown love you.
You know, most people don't like clowns. So
really.
I feel like that last little part just makes me more afraid.
Yeah.
It.
Actually, wasn't afraid of clowns before, but now I am.
After It?
No.
Did you ever see Stephen
after
King's?
After this.
Did you ever see Stephen King's It?
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, okay. All right. My goodness. Okay, the whole movie scared me to death. This tells you how bad my parents were. I watched that when I was like 9. Okay, I mean, let's watch It together as a family. I didn't sleep for like I still haven't slept since then. I'm just
every time I watch that movie, I want Chinese food.
Really?
Because they eat Chinese food in that movie.
The end of the movie killed it.
That's
it
what like, I take out of that movie.
Yeah, that's what
the whole movie scared. Is like this is the best. It's scary clowns, and then the end was like oh. Okay, clown dating. Let a clown love you. Darwin dating. Online dating for beautiful people only. Darwin dating. Okay, so, are you sick of dating websites filled with ugly, unattractive, desperate fatsos? That's what it says. We are. Darwin dating was created exclusively for beautiful, desirable people. Oh, great. Wow. Our strict rules and natural selection process ensures all our members have winning looks. Will you make the cut? Oh, my goodness.
So, are like... highly evolved animals allowed on there?
I don't know.
Like chimps and stuff? Are they allowed to sign up?
Beautiful fish. Beautiful fish. How you doing, Jeremy? Push the wrong button there?
Neil Clark Warren's in there messing around hitting
Jeremy. Neil Clark Warren. eHarmony. All right. We'll be right back. ApologyRadio.com. Think of when we were together. All right, so The BuzzFeed. We're gonna do some more here. The BuzzFeed 20 ridiculously specific online dating sites that actually exist. Oh, what'd you say? The one is Ugly Schmucks. What'd you say?
What?
Do like a commercial.
Oh, we gotta do like an infomercial. It's just like a guy like. Yeah. I used to be beautiful. Well, then I saw that double fudge sundae and I couldn't stop.
Butterball.
If you love Jabba the Hutt and Butterballs, if he was your favorite character.
Just random words. Jabba, Butterball.
I'm looking for my Princess Leia. For my Jabba.
All right.
Sorry.
We need like the eHarmony commercial for all these. Okay. Diaper Mates.
Wow.
Now, this just got weird.
I believe that really exists.
Yeah, I saw them on Jerry Springer back in the day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've heard about this before.
She said, unfortunately. I really didn't want to know this happened. Okay, the motto, Diaper Mates is the internet's largest free personals community for adult babies and diaper lovers. There you go, folks. There you go. Evidence for the fall of humanity right there. For adult babies and diaper lovers.
Adult babies.
All right. Oh, this is ridiculous. Number 9, singles with food allergies. That's ridiculous. Come off of it.
Well, how are you supposed to go out to eat if you don't know what food they're allergic to?
This is ridiculous. And nobody on this site deserves to be... No, I'm just joking. Just kidding.
If you're gluten intolerant, no love for you.
No love. No.
Love intolerant.
Now, if you're on this site, I'm angry with you. That's clickish to the
well,
nth
you can't,
degree.
If you have celiac, which is gluten-free.
Okay.
Would you want someone to be like, hey, let's go to Wildflower Bread Company? Oh,
come
great. I can't eat anything there.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Like, you fall in love with someone and you're like, you find out, oh, you don't have the same food allergies as me. I'm sorry. It's just not going to work.
I'm not.
You don't love me if you don't
easier.
Eat this bread.
It's easier.
Stop forcing me. All right. Gluten-free singles. That's another one kind of the same. All right. Here's one. It's interesting. Hot sauce passions.
Wow.
Hot sauce passions. Okay, all right.
It's like you have to have like a really sexy Spanish guy. Like, oh, it's so passion.
Wait, so that's just for people who love hot sauce?
They love hot sauce.
Spicy.
I could sign up for that one. Yeah.
I could be on that side.
I love hot sauce.
All right, here's one. Mullet passions.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. Yeah, that's right. It's business up front and a party in the back. 100% free social networking and online dating site specifically for singles with a mullet. Even the ladies? The ladies too?
That's popular nowadays.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's coming back.
That's ridiculous.
It's not like a full on like Billy Cyrus.
Yeah.
Mullet, that's, but like it's like some sort of like hipster.
Yeah, it's
like,
called Silly Cyrus.
there you go.
Sea Captain Date. What?
What?
What? Sea Captain Date is the only place for sea captains to connect with men and women who share a love of the ocean. Come. This is ridiculous.
Are there a lot of sea captains out there still?
How could a sea captain not get a date? Like, that's the most piratey thing ever.
Just yeah.
Like, Nar, yes, we've rowed up upon the shore. Would you like to be my sea mate? Oh, there's a lot of men out at sea. Would you like to join our... I don't know.
I'm angry with this one. Salad match? Salad match. Why?
Is that for people that... love salad?
Find your salad soulmate today.
Yeah, but what if one of them likes blue cheese?
Now, this one, we know someone that would be actually good on this one. I think he's actually been to it. My boy Ben. Farmers only.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Here's the motto. You don't have to be lonely thanks to Farmers Only.
Clever. Super clever.
Right, this one got
sounds like a farmer came up with that one.
This one is interesting. STDmatch.com. Let's pass that one up. The next one is tallfriends.com. Tall friends? I'm looking for a real tall person.
No, except the thing is,
what if there's a short person that signs up and it's like they sign up and they take like they Photoshop themselves. It's really long. And then that could be like a show. And then they actually finally meet for the first time and they're like a midget.
Okay, I have to say, most women like guys to be taller than them. So
yeah.
If you're a really tall girl, you might sign up for something like that.
Yeah.
Because if you're 6 foot, you're probably not going to find,
you know. I got a name for that site. It's called Goliath.com.
Goliath.
I'm a member of Goliath. Okay. All right, Goliath.com. All right, now here you go. I would have guessed this one exists. Trekpassions.com. It's
For
Trekkies.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Right. Why are some of these more permissible than others?
I understand that
we all know about Star Trek people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, James White's a huge Star Trek guy.
Is it really?
Yeah, he was talking about Worf, and he was talking about him from the different appearances on the different Star Trek shows the other day. It's like going into it, I'm like...
Dr. White.
I was like, dude, I knew he was a Star Trek fan.
Something was
somebody
weird.
Asked him who Worf was, and he went into like this whole explanation. I'm like, wow.
And
that
he
was
knew.
Awesome. And I knew it, which was even scarier.
That's upsetting that a man can know that much about everything else and know about Star Trek.
Right.
I want to know what he eats. All right. Here we go. Number 19, the ugly bug ball. Here's the motto. It's dating for the aesthetically average. Not the aesthetically challenged. The aesthetic average.
So why is it ugly?
I don't know.
Shouldn't it be something like average?
Yeah. Thousands.
Average looking people.
Thousands of singles online versus other sites where there's just millions. A lot of people are pretentious, I suppose. They think, you know, on the other sites, like, I'm not going to the ugly bug ball.
Yeah.
What if like you were on like eHarmony or some site, like in your pictures up, and you keep getting like stuff on the side,
yeah,
the advertisements?
Like, can we suggest to you
the ugly bunk ball? Is that how they get you off the site? Maybe recommend the ugly bug ball? How about you look like you're a good candidate for vampersonals.com. It's a website for people who think that they are vampires.
That'd be bad if they came back with the STD match.
May we recommend? What? All right. Hey. Okay. So we do. Hey, we're doing this on purpose. We want you to stay with us for the whole 2 hours. We have the apologetic stuff on the back end of the show. So we're gonna live it up for the first part. You got something we want to talk about real fast? That's fun. No
fun.
Ugly bug. Okay. Because I got something.
Okay.
All right. So I'm walking into a store, and I have my headpiece in. My phone rings, and hello, Mr. Hello, sir. And doesn't say my name. He says, Mr. Hello, Mr. Anderson.
Mr.
Hello.
Hello,
Mr. Hello, sir. And I can tell, like, I can hear other people from India
doing
in the background.
Thing.
I can hear them. It clears a bell. I hear this call room situation going on. And this guy's like, hello, sir. I'm like, yes, what can I do for you? He's like, you, sir, I'm calling from Microsoft.com. And you, sir, you have downloaded malicious spyware, sir. You have a spyware, dangerous virus in your computer. And I was like, oh, and I knew. I'm not an idiot. I know. You know why? Because I'm a dork, and I've listened to YouTube videos where people mess with these guys that do these pranks all the time. It's fun. You know what I did? I'll tell you. Okay, confession. I was in the store when the call really actually happened. I ran out of the store to my car to get my iPad so that I could record the conversation, and I left my iPad at home. So I didn't have it.
No.
But I will tell you anyway, because it's worth it. So I pretended to go with it. I'm like, are you serious? And I was ridiculous, too. I was like, are you serious? Are you what? He was like, sir? And I was like, are you serious? He's like, sir, yes, I'm very serious, sir, very serious. You have the spyware malicious in your computer, and you have to want to help you, Microsoft to help you. And I was like, oh, my goodness, are you serious? He was like, yes, sir, very serious. I was like, help me. Help me. And he was like, I'm going to help you, sir. If you would just log on to computer. I said, okay. Hang on. Let me get to it real fast. And
What was that noise?
No,
Are you on the little saw bicycle?
No, you'll understand in a second why. And so I'm like, he's like, hello. I was like, hold on. It's taking me a second to get there. Okay, now what? He's like, turn on your computer. And I was like, okay, I want to, but I can't. He's like, sir, what can I do to help you? And I was, it's probably like your job. Like, I can't turn my computer on. And, yes, sir, push the button, sir. And I was like, I cannot turn on the computer. I was like, I can't though. I want to very badly. And I'm very scared about this virus, the sickness I have sickness all around me. I have sickness in my computer now. He's like, sir, just turn button on your computer on. I was like, I don't have any hands. He's like, sir, just turn on the button on the computer. I said, like, I don't have any hands, though. He's like, sir, I don't understand. I was like, I don't have any arms or legs or a computer. I have no computer and no arms and no legs. and nothing. I said, I'm sitting here. I have no one to help me. No arms, no legs. And I don't even have a computer. And he's like, hello? I was like, you lie. Then I went out for like 5 minutes. I was like, you lie. I said, do you think anybody's fallen for this? I said, you need to repent of your sin, you liar. I was like, no one has any virus in their computer. You're a liar and you're a scam artist. You need to turn from your sin. And he was like, I think you're just stupid and I don't like you either. And I was like, now we have like this whole like thing. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, you need to be ashamed of your sin trying to steal money from people and get into their computers. And I was like, you need to repent. And he was like, what do you mean you have no arms and no legs? So that was my phone call. I totally wish I had that recorded. But listen, this warning to our listeners, because I love you. If you get a phone call from somebody with a strange Indian accent and they say you have something in your computer, mess with them.
And then call them to repent.
Yeah, mess with them. Just mess with them.
I can say I've never had anybody call me to repent yet in my job. But I've also not called them trying to install some kind of spyware on their computer.
Well, if you call somebody and they tell you they have no arms and legs, you know it's me.
I just have this weird image of you, like, just wrapped in bubble wrap with like a head and a torso.
Do you know?
So what was the little
spinning around?
Do you know? That was me in my little wheelchair.
How are you moving it?
I'm just moving my buns.
You had like a segue. You just kind of like lean forward slightly and he goes.
I move it with my mental powers.
Professor Xavier.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. All right. So, hey, how much time? We got 11 minutes. We got like 3 minutes left. What's the point? I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? What'd you eat this weekend? I don't know. Hey, guys, we're going to talk about a few things coming back. At least on the schedule, we're going to talk about. I want to talk just for a moment about homeschooling. I want to talk about Obamacare just for a brief moment and talk about a question brought up, like, why do we call it slavery? And the answer, I think, will really surprise you. We do want to answer some questions regarding the sovereignty of God and salvation and Calvinism, and then maybe some stuff on apologetics. Joy has some stuff she wants to talk about, too, as well. And so when we get back, we're going to talk about all those things. Let me go ahead and, I guess, let me touch the first one out, just as we end the segment. Obamacare. Now, when Douglas Wilson was on, we talked about the fact that Obamacare is theft, and it was just an amazing episode. If you didn't get the episode, go back to apologiaradio.com, and you can get sort of a theological analysis of why Obamacare represents theft and why Christians should have something to say about it. Douglas Wilson said that Obamacare is the greatest larceny committed in the history of mankind. It's the greatest bank robbery ever, he says. Now, I mentioned something in there, and I said that it's slavery. Here's what I meant by that. Slavery is essentially somebody who owns your employment and what you produce. Okay, that's essentially slavery. They own what you produce. They own your production. That's slavery. They own your production. Okay, and so when someone says, well, slavery doesn't exist anymore, this is a free country, the truth is, not anymore. Not anymore. You cannot call this a free country any longer, because everybody now, because of law, because of a tyrannical system, is now under the ownership of the state, in the sense that now the state owns their production. Do you get that? They own your production by force. And so slavery still exists today. Slavery can exist in many forms. In the wicked form, it existed in Africa, where these tribes leaders would own their people and sell them into slavery. That was wicked. That's a form of slavery. Sex trafficking is ownership of that person's employment and production. That itself is slavery. And another form of slavery, and why Christians should be speaking out against this issue of Obamacare, is when the government demands that you pay them for something, work, earn, to pay them, to give them production for something that you did not ask for, that is involuntary servitude. The government is demanding you to give them your production for a product and service you did not ask for. And they demand it of you, and if you do not pay, there are sanctions and there are penalties. That, my brothers and sisters, is a modern form of slavery. And this is why Christians should speak against this, because the gospel is about liberty, Christ setting us free, and we are not to be enslaved by yoke of bondage, either religious or state. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about Restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
Radio.com. If you are not subscribed to us yet on iTunes, go get it. iTunes subscription is free. Get all the past episodes. All the episodes are aimed at, obviously, having a good time, enjoying God, His creation, each other, having fun, but also we want to do some serious theological discussions, and that's what we're doing. And so, you know, it might strike some people who are new listeners as a surprise to hear a Christian minister harping on and trying to war against the idea of Obamacare. And the issue is, ultimately, again, listen to the past episode we did with Douglas Wilson, essentially 2 hours on this discussion. We talked about Obamacare. Why is Obamacare something Christians should speak out against? Well, number one, it's theft. Because when you take somebody's property, and believe me, you need to get out of the mentality that anybody else owns your property other than you. God gives you what you get. And that's a biblical idea. It's so much so that there are strict, strict guidelines in the Old Testament about not even moving your property marker over to your neighbors, because that's theirs, given to them by God. It's under their rule and their ownership by God. And they're given responsibility by God to have it and to own it. It's theirs. So much in the Old Testament. I don't even understand. Like, we accept now today this idea of, like, this state, this overinflated state, this beast, this tyrannical kind of government that owns kind of everything. They're allowed to take everything from you. And it's crazy. Like, people say, I don't want God's law. And it's nuts, because in God's law, like, the firstborn son got the heir. They were the heir of the father's goods. And so, like, you can transfer, like, your stuff into your firstborn's hand, and that they owned it. And now, even like now, this, we say, no, we don't want God's law. We don't want that, like, you know, family's possessions going on to the next family generation. We don't want God's law. It's too oppressive. And it's amazing. It's like, look what that, now what you earned in the Old Testament went on to your family. In America today, when you die, the government is taking the role as firstborn. Because when you die, now where does your stuff go? Now, to your firstborn? To your family? Not yet. Some will. After who gets it first? Mm-hmm. The firstborn. The state. The state has now taken the role of firstborn in the Old Testament. It's an amazing thing. And so the Old Testament and New Testament have a ton to say about theft, about property rights, about all these different things. And why do we want to be enslaved by a different system? And it's amazing. People, oh, that's oppressive. The God of the Old Testament's oppressive. No, there's justice. There's property rights. There's proper treatment of others. There's, I mean, think about this for a second. The Old Testament demands that if you kidnap somebody and enslave them, that you get the death penalty. I mean, I want to ask the question, which society, like, shows more concern for the kidnapped victim? The Old Testament that says it is so serious to kidnap an image bearer of God that you deserve the death penalty, or today's system that says, well, you can kidnap somebody and then, you know, and then maybe get,
potentially,
like, but yeah,
get a long sentence, but you might also just get off on some sort of
probation.
Weird technicality.
Bible says, yeah, you kidnap somebody, then you're caught, and they're caught in your possession, then mm-hmm. you deserve the death penalty. That's us. And it's crazy. It's like, we just reject God's law. Anyways, goodness, so much to say on this. But the issue of slavery is serious. God, listen, the Bible gives you a basis to do away with slavery, okay? There is a bond servanthood that exists in the Old Testament that is not relatable to slavery in America. It's not relatable to Roman slavery. It's a bondservant kind of slavery, if you want to call it that, bondservanthood slavery, that was related to a financial situation that protected the poor from death. Okay? Now, the New Testament is all about, like, freedom, freedom, freedom. God is ruler, Christ is king, freedom, and slavery existed, but everywhere in the world that Christianity has penetrated, slavery is done away with. It goes away. And in every country except for America, it went away peacefully. America is the only Christian kind of nation that had 600,000 people die as a result of getting rid of slavery. So anyways, everywhere Christianity is gone, slavery goes away. However, people say slavery is over. It's not over. It's not over. And as a matter of fact, and this needs to be something we think about very strongly as Christians, as ministers and everything else, this Obamacare represents a complete and utter turning people over to slavery. You're saying to them, your property is not your property. I will take it by force. So there's theft, giving you something you didn't ask for. And I will also now put you and your children and your grandchildren under the yoke of slavery, because now they are in this fixed system where we own their production. The government now says, I own your production. I own your children's production. Whatever they earn must come back to me. I own their production. Guys, there's no two ways about it. That is slavery. Slavery is the ownership of the production of another. It's slavery. Obamacare is slavery. It's not just slavery for me. It's now slavery for my children and my children's children. That's why Christians should have something to say about it. And don't tell me as a Christian that this is an issue that, you know, like we should stay out of. It's an issue of state. No, listen, slavery is always an issue for Christians. It always has been. Always has been. Liberty, freedom is always an issue for us. It's what we fight for. And this represents slavery. So
I got a question. So what then, and maybe Douglas Wilson covered this and I didn't hear it, but what would you say then for people that would raise the question, well, you know, Jeff, we pay our taxes anyway to pay. What about things like roads and those? Why is that not slavery, but this is?
Yeah, the issue of a coercive tax is unbiblical. It's unbiblical. The issue of a tax that is voluntary, not tyrannical, that is something you participate in. That's why the early Christians in the formation of the Republic were warring against the king and everything else, because it was taxation without representation. It was a tyrannical kind of tax. It was like Douglas Wilson says it this way. Is it lawful, Jesus? Jesus is asked to pay your taxes to Caesar, right? And Jesus says, well, show me the coin. Whose image is it, right? His image is on there, so you can give that to him. It's good. They're asking the question, is it lawful for us? Is God okay with us paying taxes to Caesar? And Jesus is saying, well, of course you can pay taxes to Caesar. You can do that. It's not unlawful to pay taxes to Caesar. His image is on it. You can give some of that money to him. You can do that. Because that was the question, is it lawful before God for me to do such a thing with Caesar in his kingdom, to pay his kingdom taxes, because I belong to God? That was the thing. And so what Jesus does there, he flips it and he says, but whose image are you in? Give to God what belongs to God. And what the early Christians in America were saying is, look, God's image is on me. You don't own me. You don't own me. And that you will not tax me. You will not steal money from me without representation. It's a voluntary. I will participate in this. I accept that there has to be a government. That's a good thing. Government is good. It's not evil. It's not bad. It can get bad. And you tax me in a voluntary kind of way with representation. But tyranny is not something the Bible is okay with. So, for example, if someone says, well, you're supposed to obey your governing authorities. What if my governing authority, like Wilson said, tells me to walk on water at noon every day? Mm-hmm. Obey it? Can't do that. It's impossible for me to do that. How about if the governing authority tells me to give them money for the abortion procedures across America? Now, I have a question to ask the Christian who says, obey your governing authorities. Amen, 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 of course. But if the government tells you, you give me cash right now to kill a baby, will you obey that? The answer is what?
No.
No. Not under any circumstances. So there is a limit to Romans 13 and the degree to which we will actually obey the governing authorities. Not when it comes to unbiblical, unlawful things. Amen? Right? So when someone says, here's a system that represents modern day slavery, do Christians participate in modern day slavery? No. We just don't. A lawful means? Absolutely.
So where can we go then to, like, I'll admit my ignorance on this subject, because I hear people talk about it a lot. And of course, you know, everything you're saying resonates with me, and, you know, I wouldn't, you know, want to give money for things like abortion and that. But if I'm trying to go to a place or to a source to educate myself, I was trying to do it the other day, actually. It was kind of a slow day at work, and I was just looking around. And outside of Wikipedia, where would somebody go, or what's a good resource then to sort of, you know, educate yourself on that?
Well, the truth is, and I'll just be honest here, the truth is I've been trying very hard myself, but you're not alone, and I'm not alone in not understanding all the details. And here's why. Nobody understands.
It just seems so convoluted and like – and. There's so much spin because with political issues like this, it's like one side's going to spin things one way and they're going to seem like this is the greatest thing in the world, healthcare for everybody. Right. And then the other side's going to be like, no, you're stealing from us. It's slavery. You know, mm-hmm. Those are bold proclamations. Mm-hmm. So then as a Christian and as somebody who wants to be responsible in responding to these types of things, like how do you go about doing that? You know, I mean, wasn't this enacted into law a few years
ago?
Well,
the Supreme Court first of all, the Supreme Court's not supposed to do what they did.
I didn't vote for you.
Yeah, right. Seriously, I did not.
How did you
vote
become
for
king?
You, right. Exactly. The early founders would never have accepted that kind of tyranny. Right. To have judges doing that sort of a thing. But it's not about partisan. I cannot stress this enough. I don't care about Democrat. I don't like even being lumped into red state, right wing, conservative, because I don't like where people put the perspective in that point.
Yeah.
I'm coming at it from completely different angle as a Christian. So again, it's not about petty partisan issues. It's about first principles. And so when you look at the issue of Obamacare, believe me, 20 some odd thousand pages of like legislation and things, nobody understands. Nobody knows. Who has time to read that? Nobody actually has time to read that and understand all the details and ins and outs and be the expert. I don't think even our president is an expert in the details. There's no way anyone has time for that. The issue is first principles, okay? First principles of liberty, first principles of slavery, first principles of property rights, first principles of theft, all those things. So we have to filter through these things by first principles, not petty issues of partisan politics. Like, we can't say, well, just what are the Democrats? How are they spinning this? And how are the Republicans spinning this? It really comes down to, what are the first principles? Okay, so we have people who have property that you're asking to take. Okay, why? For what reason? Is it voluntary? Second thing is, you know, is this slavery? Like, what are you committing people to? And have they asked you for it? And how are you wielding the sword to do so? Like, first principles are the questions to ask. For as Christians, we look at foundational issues, not just the surrounding things. Like, for example, you know, there's issues right now. They were this morning discussing before on the floor. They were asking the person who's head of the IRS, like, questions about Obamacare. They're like, we don't understand this. They said, like, looks like here in the law, there's like $100 a day penalty per person for businesses that don't basically participate to a certain degree. $100 a day penalty per person, it amounts to like $36,000 a year penalty per person in their business that they don't do this right for. And it may even count for their individual family members.
And the IRS is in charge of this non-tax.
Yes. Yeah. So
the IRS.
Now remember this. This is where it becomes also in the sense of malicious, tyrannical lies is when the government tells you, we want to do this healthcare thing. Okay. And it is not a tax. It is not a tax. It is not a tax. And that was the mantra over and over and over. And as soon as it passed, how did the Supreme Court say it? Well, it's not legal this way, but you can tax. It's legal as a tax. And what did the administration do? They didn't say, oh, we didn't want to do that. We told everyone it's not a tax. They did what? They go, great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Great. We'll take that. And then when somebody asked one of the leaders, I think it was Pelosi, they were like, well, is it a tax or not then? It said not a tax. Now it is a tax. And she's like, that's just Washington talk. That's just Washington talk. Just take yes for an answer, America. It's like, no, nobody's that stupid. We can see right through. That's not Washington talk. It's pure logic and reason. Goodness gracious. ApologiaRadio.com. All right. back at ApologiaRadio.com, guys. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. Get us on our Facebook page. Like it. Subscribe to us. Share some episodes with your friends, family, brosifs. We're back with Joy the Girl and Skinny Jeans. What's up, y'all?
What up?
What's up? All right, hey. Let's just talk briefly for just a moment about Apologia Church. Let's just have a moment here.
Okay.
Apologia.
You mean we already haven't taken several moments in this episode?
We're not even getting anything. Apologia Church really formed as a result of first Apologia Christian Ministries. Now, Joy, you were with us since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we were together in LifeQuest Church. You were in youth group.
Yeah.
Oh, so sweet.
Well, by the time you were the youth pastor, I was on staff.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you were still under my rule.
Nice.
Tyranny.
Too nice. Seriously.
Slavery.
Seriously, Mr. Anti-Slavery.
And I own your production. Anyway, so Apologia Christian Ministries began as an outreach ministry to reach people. It was a countercult ministry. It was a ministry to reach people in different worldviews. But I was also a youth pastor, college pastor, interim teaching pastor, counseling pastor at – just a pastor in general at LifeQuest Church. And but I was also working at an addiction recovery center, and at the same time, and so we had all this stuff going on. And we're serving God together. We had a blast. We did epic.
It was so much fun.
It was just an amazing time.
I think we could just tell stories about that, but that's not really.
No.
That's not really Apologia.
It was just straight awesome, though. We had a great time. Saw a lot of people's lives changed. And then it just became clear after a while God was calling us to plant a church out of the people that were coming to Christ at this addiction recovery center I was at. And so we did. And Joy came with us. It was basically Luke and Cheryl, Candy and I, our kids, and Joy. I think B-Rad was there in the first beginning.
And they had Paige and Lauren.
Yeah, and they were just teenagers. So
yeah,
like they were
exactly.
Like 14 or 15 years old or something like that. And so we planted this church out of this family building at this addiction recovery center and didn't know what we were getting into except God was clearly calling us to do it. And so we did. And so that was about 4 years ago. Apologia Church came out of Apologia Christian Ministries. And we just saw God do amazing things. I mean, God just began to save people and bring them to church and see lives transformed and changed. We've grown a lot together as we've done this church plant. We've been through so many amazing things. We've seen miracles for 4 years. God changing lives over and over and over again. We've seen God healing us as a body. We've seen God have miraculous moments too, which is like when there was a great need, just money came from the sky. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. We've had some funny moments. This show is a ministry of Apologia Church. So this show is reaching worldwide. People are coming to Christ around the world listening to this show. Christians are being transformed by listening to this show. We're being a voice into the culture because of this show. So I just want to talk to you about the church. We're moving into new phase. New phase is we're replanting the church. We have been given the opportunity and grace of God to have our own building in North Tempe, South Scottsdale, to really hit all areas of the valley. Like, there's like four different cities we can hit right where we're at. We're humbled by it. And somebody has literally committed to donate $1 million to buy the building. It's crazy. We're such a small ministry. We have financial struggles because we're such a little ministry. And we have, like, you know, the church is growing now, but that's just, we're just at beginning stages and phases of a growing church. And so we don't have the money to buy our own building. We don't have that kind of money. Mm-hmm. And we just asked God for it. We said, God, give us this building. We went over and laid our hands on this building. We asked God, give us the building. Be careful what you ask for. I mean, he did. I mean, someone just is committed to give us $1 million. So I don't know. I'm going to hand it over to you guys. Just take a second to talk about Apologia Church. We're really asking you guys here to participate with us and join with our ministry to be a part of what we're doing. You're not, if you commit to supporting Apologia Radio, it's not so much just Apologia Radio you're supporting. It's Apologia Church. It's the ministry of our church. It's the outreach we do. It's the abortion ministry we do. It's the preaching that we do. It's this radio show. When you support this ministry, you're supporting Apologia Church and the ministry that we're involved in. You're participating with us in the gospel proclamation, not just in Arizona, but around the world. So I'll let you guys talk for a second.
Yeah, so I came to Apologia Church about a year and a half ago, and I grew up in the church and everything, and actually went through a bit of a rough patch in my life, and I had stopped going to church for a couple of years. That's a whole story in and of itself. But as God was sort of bringing me back into church and looking for a church and knowing that I didn't want to be just a part of something that was just a cultural thing that I could go to each and every week to meet friends and do that sort of thing. You can get that anywhere. It wasn't just about a sermon. I could hear a sermon online, but really looking for a place to you know, plug in. I actually heard Jeff's message. I've known about Apologia Church because my friend and roommate, Jerry, who's been on the show a few times, has known Jeff for a long time. So I knew that Apologia existed for well into a year. I found Jeff's sermon on the Trinity that he gave, and I was like, man, I got to go to that church. And a lot of people have said the same thing. So I was kind of brought there through that. But yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, having grown up in church all my life, you know, I can truly say that I don't know that I've been through any sort of period of growth like I have these last few years and been challenged in a way spiritually and as a leader and now as the worship leader at Apologia Church. It's been such a huge blessing. I love my team of guys and gals that I get to work with. And really, I think what we're asking for here is as we go through this new church plant or church, as we start to reboot the church, relaunch the church in this new location, that we're just asking for your guys' support. If you guys have been blessed by Apologia Radio at all, like I have, or are all looking or able to help support us, check out our website, apologiachurch.com. There's actually a donate tab that you can click on, and there's a PayPal link there. So if you guys have PayPal accounts, we're not asking for a lot. I mean, if you can give even just $20, I mean, $20 from the listeners here would go a long, long way to help us, you know, relaunch this church. And so we're really trusting God. We know God's moving us in this direction, but, you know, we do want to put that out there and ask for you guys to pray about it and to support us, you know, financially and in prayer as we move forward.
Well, and you guys, just something that I want to say is that, okay. So if you're just a listener on the if you just listen to the show, you have to know that, the level of commitment that you hear on this show to theology, truth, proper doctrine, political issues, not that we would want to call them that yeah. necessarily, but gospel issues that are seen as political. All of the level of commitment that there is to those things on this radio show is also at Apologia Church. This is not just like a thing that we show up for. And we do the radio show and we get super passionate and then we walk away and then like the church is just nothing. But this is this, I mean, if anything, I would say this show came from Apologia Church, not the other way around.
That's right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys just have to know that we're just a seriously committed church and we haven't necessarily been blessed with numbers, but we have been seriously blessed by God, and I think that means we're doing something right.
Amen. We're going to talk some more about it when we get back. ApologiaRadio.com. Stay with us, guys, and we do have more on Apologetics coming up.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Oh. I totally thought that was part of the song. I was like, oh, there's birds.
Well, it is now forever.
Birds. Apologia, guys. Hey, we're finishing up the discussion. Apologia Church. And that's true. I think, you know, we're not perfect. We don't ever do everything right. But we're just committed to Christ, and we're growing together as a family. And the church is growing, like, intensely. Spiritually speaking, people are just deepening in their relationship with Jesus. We've just seen God move in ways that we just never anticipated. Like, I just never imagined. I knew that God was calling us to do this, but I didn't know what it would look like. I didn't know how the relationships would form. I didn't know how people would be committed to do what they're doing. And Joy's right. Like, Apologia Radio, it's not a show in that sense. This is just what our church is. We just do this is what we're involved in. We really are committed to these things. And so I want to ask you guys, if you're blessed by this show, I mean, if you listen to the show, Elliot's right. I mean, we had, like, even on the page, we have 1400 people that just like our show, right? And that's actually quite a bit, considering that not everyone likes the page and everything else. I mean, the show is, like, far reaching. And, you know, if only 500 people just committed to give $10 a month, $20 a month to the show, you would be contributing to the work of Apologia Church. I mean, in a way that would just allow us to bless the world and to do more than we're already doing. The only limitation I think that we sometimes run into at times is not for lack of people who want to serve or die for the gospel. Many times our big struggle is we don't have the money to pay for that. We can't do that thing because we don't have the ability to do that. And so we try to get real creative as to how we can minister without funds and doing these things. But let me just ask you, I mean, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, please, if you can give to Apologia Church through this ministry of Apologia Radio, even $10-$20 a month, that would actually kind of that would be the catalyst for us to do so much more that we want to do. And I'm going to just share this with you. I mean, God has blessed this show in tremendous ways that I never anticipated, with ministries popping up because as a result of this show, babies being saved across the nation, people witnessing to their family and friends who were in cults and everything else. I mean, that is happening. But think about for a second that somebody we don't even know, by the way, we don't have a personal relationship with them that's close. They've never heard me preach. They've never listened to this radio show. They've never been to our church. They're the ones donating this money. Isn't that crazy? Think about those things. Put those things together. That doesn't make any sense. So what is that saying? That's saying like there's something tremendous going on where God is just delivering somebody to you that's like, yeah, I'll give you $1 million for your building. And it's just crazy. It's just it doesn't make any earthly sense that somebody would do something like that. And I think it just displays how much God is just behind this church and saying, go, go, go. And we need you. We need listeners that will give and will help and support and be a part of this work.
Definitely. And that's the truth is that, you know, we're all in, I mean, this sounds super cliche and it is, but we are all in this together. I mean, you guys and us, you know, in terms of like trying to, you know, push forward the message that this show has proclaimed and as the church too. And so, yeah, really, I mean, apologiachurch.com. I mean, even if you can only give one time, I mean, every little bit helps, you know. And so what we're looking at, you know, we're looking at right around January to try to get into
we're looking at possibly maybe sooner, but maybe for sooner. Sure, January 1st is when we're getting the building bought.
Cool. So, yeah. So think about that. If you're a type of person who kind of wants like a tangible timeline or something like that, think about it like that. That's you know, our goal to get in. So, again, you know, we love you guys. We're thankful for the support that you guys have already given us in prayer and everything else. And this is just something else that, we really do need you guys on this. So so please pray about it and think about it and know that it's going, that your money is not going to simply, you know, be squandered on things that don't matter. But this is going for real ministry. You guys know that if you listen to the show, things like the Red Door Ministry, those types of ministries, talking about changing lives here and reaching people with the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a great segue.
Okay.
Where were you?
Okay, we've had some interesting moments too at church.
We have.
We've had some interesting characters kind of float through.
Get it.
Yes,
we have had some very interesting people come in. One guy tithed bullets. I'm gonna say it again. Bullets, like literal bullets that you put into a gun.
Yeah, he wasn't quite right.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't like just some normal guy like that you would see. I got some bullets.
Here's a check. And Pastor Jeff, I like your gun. Here's a bullet for your gun. And he was like,
he was really kind of crazy.
I put the bullet in. That was mine. I put that bullet in there.
Well, the first time it happened, it just seemed like, oh well, that's all
he had.
But then it just got weirder and weirder.
And it's so funny, like how you just give people a lot of rope. You're like, oh, that's probably already all he had was the bullet. It's like, wait a second. That should have been like the big warning bell.
That's all he had was
all
the
he's
bullet.
Got are bullets.
You guys keep your bullets.
We'll be right back.
So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older.
All right, so we've been talking a lot in the episode about some important stuff mingled together with some other things. You know what we've never done on the show? What? Huckleberry.
You never have?
I've never done a Huckleberry.
You have a lot of characters that you haven't brought out for the show.
I don't know why Mortimer always just flows so easily here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Huckleberry. Huckleberry. This is Huckleberry. I got a one-legged dog. He's on. He puts his face on a wheel. you hurt your leg there, son. I'd put up some bacon on that if I were you. Some bacon. Huckleberry solves every problem with a strip of bacon.
Bacon tourniquet.
I just, yeah, you might take a seat there and put some bacon on it.
Bacon skin grafts.
Put some bacon on it. I'd put some bacon on it if I were here. All right. Hey. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you guys. We did mention for a second, just a brief thing on homeschooling. I was in Texas this past weekend. It was just really cool. I met somebody that I want to get on the show, and so I'll tell you guys all about him later.
From Texas?
Yeah, but it was just really cool. Just,
is it Vody Buckham?
No, I wish. Believe me.
Vody, answer my phone calls and my emails.
Come on, Vody. You're trying really hard. Put your bacon on it. So he was just mentioning the whole issue of like public schools. So somebody asked a question, public schools. And he just said something that struck me. He's like, you know what we need to do? He says, we need to put it in its right context. We need to stop saying public schools. We need to just be honest about what it truly is and just call it what it is, government schools. Not public schools. Like, it sort of softens it, because mm-hmm. the truth is it's government schools. The government, the state is giving a head of the Department of Education. That person sort of puts in the curriculum for like acceptance of same-sex marriage. And those things get in there from the top down. Issues like origins. The government schools teach you about origins. It's not like they're neutral on it. They teach you about origins. So what he said was, he says, Christians oftentimes today will say something like, well, yeah, we do need to pull our kids out of these public schools because they're just failing. They're failing. They're just doing terrible. And what he said was, he said, no, they're not. No, they're not failing. He said, the government schools are not failing. They have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They have succeeded in being able to do what they've done and teach kids what they teach them and put them where they put them. They have succeeded. I mean, if you think about education back when Christians really had their kids taught and tutored and everything else. You had education was private. You wouldn't even imagine the things that the state is teaching our kids today and the things that they're doing there. And let me just put it to you this way. If you guys are not kind of there yet, let me just say this with humility and with a lot of gentleness. For me, it comes down to this. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Okay. And so what I always say is, our government schools, public schools, are they for Christ or against Christ? When they teach your kids about origins, are they for Christ or against Christ? When they teach your kids about language and art and beauty, are they for Christ or against Christ? When they teach your kids about history, are they for Christ or against Christ? And I think a lot of times as Christians, I admit this myself, because I wasn't always somebody that taught my kids, homeschool them. My kids did go to public school for the first 2-3 years. We often think, well, they're not really new.
Well, just like you were talking about, we were talking about it jokingly, but yeah. You said giving people a lot of rope.
Yeah.
We give this, we just do that. We just say, oh, well, there's no way it could be that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's sort of this idea of neutrality.
Yes.
We just accept that like, well, people are kind of neutral, so we'll just give them the benefit of the doubt. But yeah. If that's not true, then we should probably be living like that's not true.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Let your theology go from something that's in your head to something that actually rolls and touches the earth and moves, right? And Christians are really good with saying, well, that's our anthropology. There's none who does good. There's none who seeks for God. You're either for Christ or against Christ. Then all of a sudden, we like actually walk and live in this world because of the culture we're a part of going, but we send our kids to this school. Because that's what everyone does, right? Isn't that how you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is like, we just need to be shook. And when I say we, I'm saying me collectively, part of that. I had to be shook to say, wake up. This isn't the way that it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to give your kids to Caesar for 6-7 hours a day to be trained by the state. Vody always says that thing, his famous mm-hmm. statement. He says, you know, if you send your kids to Caesar to be trained, don't be surprised when they come home acting like Romans. You know, that's powerful. That hit me hard because that was like, man, that's true. Like, I can't beat that. I can't beat 14,000 hours of seat time in a government school. I can't beat it. And be honest, I cannot compete with that. I don't sit down with my kids for 6 and 7 hours straight, like developing their biblical worldview. Be honest, you don't. But who is? The state. So don't say, well, they're neutral. There is no neutrality. There isn't neutrality. We all know God. We suppress the truth of God. Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. Here's the question I want you to ask for those of you guys who are thinking through the issues of educating your child. Can I just put this to you humbly? And this is in no way me trying to put something over on you or put you under my foot or make you feel bad. Let me just ask you this question that I want you to ask yourself. Are government schools for Christ or against Christ? That's all I want to ask you. For Christ or against Christ? And somebody will say, how about this? I'll send my child as a missionary. I'm going to send my child as a missionary into the government school system. And I say to that, that's crazy. That's crazy. You're going to send your 9 and 10-year-old child that hasn't been fully even like developed and discipled and yet? You're going to send them into the lion's den?
Well, and if you go to a church that doesn't have proper doctrine, they may think they're saved and they're not even...
Yeah, yeah.
They may not completely
understand
grasp
the gospel.
The whole gospel yet. Yeah. And they're expected to be
so what about,
missionaries.
What about Christian public school teachers? Because there are some.
Yeah, that came up this weekend too.
It's an issue that I think a lot of... There's a lot of controversy surrounding it. And I think it's because when someone hears you say that you're for homeschooling, they automatically think like, well, I can't homeschool. You think you're better than me and all this stuff. But like, if you're listening right now, I promise you that's not what we're saying.
Not at all.
I promise.
Not at all. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let me just say there's a great answer for that. If you're a public school teacher, I would say it's good to be Daniel in Babylon. It's good to be Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Babylon. It's good to be a Christian who's an undercover agent for Christ in a context. Nobody's saying you have to necessarily quickly. I don't know every circumstance. I can't give some legalistic sword and start dropping people's heads and legs off saying, you know, this, you and this. Here's the thing. If you're a Christian who's a public school teacher, I wouldn't recommend necessarily that you just jump ship and leave. I would say be a light and witness until they fire you.
Yeah.
Be a light and witness until they fire you. Know this, it's going to be hostile, but don't you dare send your kids there. That's what I would say. Be a school teacher who loves Jesus, who can bring the gospel into that context, but you might get fired if you do it faithfully. You look forward to being fired. I say that as somebody who was in a secular context. I had to eventually quit because they were trying to ask me to sell out and I wouldn't do it. So I quit. but don't you dare send your kids there. I mean, that's what I would say. Because
they can't go to your class all the time, like for and the rest of their life. And if they do have them,
you're not allowed.
You may as well just. Yeah,
you're not allowed to say you're a Christian teacher of science and biology. I have a question. Be honest. Are you allowed to teach Christ is the foundation of origins in your science class? Yes or no? And if you say, well, no, I can't. I have to. Then what are we doing? Then what are we doing? And why do we even question like how a society where it's at today? Well, it's our fault. We have some blame to take in about the fact that we're not being salt and light to the culture around us. We just do. So there's no neutrality, which brings me, by the way, to the apologetics portion of the podcast. Okay. All right. So no neutrality. The issue of no neutrality. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2. You can't even have the discussion about whether or not Jesus is the Messiah without first having the word of God as his revelation for certainty. But we do need to ask the question, does Jesus fit the bill of what God has revealed to us about the Messiah? And so I gave you an acrostic, and it was most definitely Jesus is the Messiah. Is Jesus the Messiah? Most definitely. The M stands for messianic prophecies fulfilled. The O stands for the original life of Jesus. The S stands for the symbols fulfilled in Christ. And the T stands for the transformation of the lives of the apostles. Let me just today touch on something really exciting about the symbolism, okay? The whole Old Testament is pointing towards Christ. So you've got direct prophecy that tells you when and where and how and who, but that you also have symbolism, these foreshadows of the Messiah and his work in redemption and ministry. So you got to catch that. To be honest, like for me, guys, when I see like the direct prophecy of like a timeline and here's when Jesus is coming, Daniel 2, during the time of the fourth kingdom, before the destruction of the temple, Jesus is going to accomplish this. Like there's specific timeline stuff. That excites me, and it's pretty awesome. But the thing that gives me goosebumps, like really seriously, gives me goosebumps, makes my hair stand on end, is the symbolism. That is what gets me. Like Old Testament, Leviticus 16, the Day of Atonement, right? The high priest, Day of Atonement, he's a sinner. He has to offer a sacrifice for himself first, which is kind of a bad thing because he's going to die one day. He's a sinful priest, and so he's going to offer his own sacrifice. He's not a very good priest because he's going to die, and there's another one necessary, and he has his own sin to deal with. But then he goes before the people of God, and they cast lots, Leviticus 16, for the goats. One of the goats becomes the scapegoat, the goat that he's going to lay his hands on and confess the sins of the people on, and depart of the city. But one of the goats has to die. That's an innocent for guilty sacrifice. Blood has to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The innocent for the guilty. So the priest, the high priest on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he offers the animal death for sin, innocent for guilty. He goes into the holy of place, holiest of holies, and he has to offer the sacrifice. Death has been accomplished for sin. And then he returns. He returns and shows up. Then he lays his hands on the scapegoat and he confesses the sins of the people onto the scapegoat, in essence transferring the guilt of the people onto this scapegoat. And then they would lead this goat out of the city, away from the people. And can you imagine for a second, you're watching this goat leave the city, and it's though the sins have gone from you to the goat, as a crediting of your sin to the goat, a transference of guilt to the goat, and now that goat is led out of the city, and you watch it depart from you as far as the east is from the west, just going away from you to disappear off into the distance. And that's a spectacular thing. But what's amazing is that that's a foreshadowing of Christ and his ministry and work. Jesus is the better high priest. Why? He's not sinful. He doesn't require any sacrifice for himself. He's not doing atonement with a sacrifice for himself. He's doing atonement as the righteous one. And watch this. The high priest then was a sinner and he died. And they had to have another high priest, right? But Jesus, his priesthood lasts forever because he rose again. He's a high priest that always lives to make intercession for us. So he's a better high priest. What that high priest was pointing to was the better high priest and Messiah, the one that would never die, the one that was the righteous one and he was sinless. But then you think about the fact that also you had to have the innocent for guilty sacrifice. But here's the problem. Animals don't take away any sin. They can't because they're not image bearers of God. Okay, if Elliot said, Jeff, I love you, I'm going to lay my life down for you. I love you, I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to die for your sins. I'd say, thank you for the thought. But you can't, because even though you're an image bearer of God, you're also a sinner, and so it's not a good exchange. It won't work. You can't represent me before God. And then same thing for an animal. There's also a problem with the animal. What's the problem? It's not an image bearer of God. It's a creature that dies. It's not image of God. And so it can't really take away my sins. It can't represent me. So Jesus is the better sacrifice, because Jesus is fully righteous in God. He's man. He can take away my sin and represent me. He's righteous, so he can die for my sins and give a perfect atonement and reconciliation. And then he also is that transference of guilt, my sins credited to him and his righteousness to me. And therefore, God has removed my sins from me as far as the east is from the west. The symbolism in the Old Testament is a glorious thing. And we are not even scratching the surface. We are trying our best to whet your appetite, to keep you hanging on to Apologia Radio so you keep listening. It's a trick. It's a trick, because there's so much more to talk about. The symbolism of the Old Testament is something that is astonishing. Jesus is the Messiah, most definitely. Joy.
What's See you up, later.
Elliot, skinny jeans.
What up?
What up? What up?
Apologia Radio or church.com.
Go ApologiaChurch.com.
Yep.
That's where they can go.
That they can go to check out and donate. Yep.
Yeah. That's donate. It.
Yep.
Yeah.
Support. That's it.
That's it. That's all there is to it. Okay, guys, we'll catch you next time on Apologia Radio. Put your bacon on it. The dog had a wheel.